Before we get started with today's episode, we'd like to thank all of our Patreon patrons. Your support keeps this podcast running, and we can't thank you enough. If you're not yet a patron and looking to support the pod, you can check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/BingeTownTV. You can also find it on our Instagram and website, BingeTownTV.com. Right now, we have two tiers available, Binge Townie and Binge Town Homie. The first tier, Binge Townie, is just $2 a month and is available if you just want to send some support our way. With this tier, you'll get a shout out from us on the podcast. Our second tier, Binge Town Homie, has all of our exclusive content. This tier is $5 a month, and you get exclusive patron-only podcast episodes, early access to our celebrity interviews, exclusive patron-only unedited celebrity video interviews, plus a lot of other bonus material. We appreciate all of your support and hope you all join the fun because our exclusive episodes are going to get wild. All right, now let's get this show started.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV. I'm here with Jimmy, Luke, and Kyle, and we are back with our season 3 coverage of Wynonna Earp. We got vampires and angels and Bolshar and people licking potatoes. But most importantly, we've got no more Earp curse. It's done. It's finished. I bet none of y'all expected that. Season 3, all these boys in the past two podcasts are like, we better kill all 77. I want to witness every 77.
Damn, so you're implying that there's nothing on it in season 4?
I mean, the Earp curse is done.
Oh, shit. I didn't expect that.
At the moment, the Earp curse is done. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I really think that it solves a lot of the potential issues I could have saw down the road.
Yeah.
Because it got ended prematurely by dealing with Bolshar, and that's all fine. I just totally thought that it was somehow going to be re-brought up in season 4 because I feel like there's so much on the table left with us to learn about Wyatt and his past. But at the same time, we did get a lot. So if they didn't touch that, I'm satisfied enough because we got all the angels and selecting him as the champion stuff. Like, that's all fine. I'm just anticipating that we're going to see a little bit more of Wyatt in the past. So I thought that implied that we were going to get a little bit more in the curse, but I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So is it confirmed that Doug Peterson was an angel?
No, yeah. He was a guardian, I thought.
No,
did you say he was definitely an angel?
Him, he is, yeah. Exactly what Charlie was.
He could have been the dad. You're right.
Anybody want to just hook me up here?
I know. I have the shout outs. So I said shout out to Jimmy for guessing that Waverly was a half angel because that's fucking lit. They do say angel so many
times. They really do.
I was like, cut it out at some point because I was like, I don't want these boys to guess it. I want them to be like, yo, angel.
What is it? Episode like 3 or 4, they actually reveal it. Maybe 4 or 5, but even in the first couple episodes, Kate flips the angel card mm-hmm. and then they show the statue when they're talking. It's just literally like, angel!
Dude, this was the best Waverly season ever.
Like, oh, hell yeah.
Just was awesome.
And did she get to number 1 on your list?
Yeah, probably. Because I feel like you're probably going to not agree with me here, but I thought it was a down Doc season compared to 1 and 2.
I agree.
Well, yeah. Just on Doc's intentions and morality down, I thought he was still an amazing character. And I'll just tell you guys, Tim Rozon, who plays him, was so sad to have to do all this bad shit this season. He's such a sweetheart.
As a fan of Doc, it was a little tough to watch him like make mistakes, but I thought like it was a good season for his character as like a character on the show. Feel like he drove like a lot of plot, like he was involved a ton.
I guess I gotta rephrase, like, what is the question of who our favorites are or who we think the best characters are? Because that's a little bit of a different
favorites,
answer.
Always favorites.
Definitely favorites. Yeah.
Okay, well, Doc's still my favorite Doc. Number one.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, I don't know, best character, I feel like he took a little notch down and Waverly probably hopped him. I also think Wynonna, this was a positive season for her, and we'll talk about this back and forth because I started to think that her writing of the comedy stuff was slightly better and it was more meta. Like it was like aware of how stupid it was rather where before it was still aware, but it was just stupid for like stupid sake.
Yeah. I like when in the Christmas episode, her and Charlie are fucking shit up and she's saying shit and Charlie's like, who are you talking
Amazing to? Amazing line. Yeah. I wanted to bring that up. That was such a good part. She's like, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah. Right. So good. And I agree, Kyle. I've never looked at it the lens. So we've talked off pod a lot. Kyle has his issues with Wynonna and specifically with the season. But I don't ever notice, and I have taken more notice now that you're in my ear saying that. And I'm like, you're right. These lines are cheese town, but I like it. I'm like, I like this stupid, like half witty.
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean, it's perfectly fine that it doesn't hit with me personally.
Yeah.
I just, for me, it's tired. It just feels like we have to like get it over with to then get to actually like meaningful dialogue. Every now and again, it's fine. Like, a lot of the characters are funny in that way because a lot of them are like that. Like Jeremy has really good quips like that.
He does.
So does Waverly. Waverly and Wynonna together have a really good chemistry with the quips. But Winona just, it's constant. It's every time she's on the screen and is doing something, there has to be some type of pun or witty comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get behind that.
No,
too.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying with that last sentence, but I'm more on Luke's side where I actually thought it was worse to start the show in the first two seasons. I think now it's actually gotten a little bit better.
So Winona has the awful job of being the lead and going through all the shit, especially once we get into season four. You're going to see like how awful Winona's life has actually been. So one, she relies on comedy to kind of ease. She doesn't want to get too close to anybody because she's going to get hurt. So she relies on comedy, but she's also always in the thick of it in the show.
Yeah.
So her comedy, I feel like you've said, her comedy beats fall in the wrong moments. It's supposed to be an intense moment and she says something so it falls flat. Whereas the other characters are goofy in nature. Like Jeremy's always doing something goofy. So when he says something goofy, it's funny.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it matches. But I don't know. Winona's always my number one all four seasons.
I just think that it could be utilized a little better, like more selectively. It doesn't have to be like cut it in half. But like maybe take some of them away. It's just
like
sometimes
25% less.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like I'm just like off the top of my head with like one-armed Clint, like that whole thing. It was just, I feel like Winona wasn't serious, didn't say a serious line almost like that entire time until the end.
Yeah.
When
two-armed Clint.
Yeah. Like, that was good. That was funny. But like it's just like it feels like almost every other, like it feels like 75% of her dialogue or 80% of her dialogue, maybe even 85% is sarcasm. And so, quips, and it's just like it just kind of ground me down throughout this season. But I understand why her character's like that, and I can appreciate that, but at the same time, not like it.
So, would you say that it's ground you down through three seasons, or do you actually think third season has been worse?
I think third season has been worse.
Okay.
Also, because the way that she handles a lot of things also kind of upsets me, or upset me rather, a little bit throughout the season.
Oh, I have those.
Yeah, I feel like she is kind of a hypocrite, and it was really kind of, I was opening my eyes a lot more, I think, this season.
What do you mean? And give me like an example.
I just feel like she gets mad at Doc when Doc like maybe will get drunk and like do something stupid, but then like her whole character is like that reckless drunk thing. So like she'll go out and go to the strip club and think she gets knocked up by a revenant, and then like she obviously will clean up her messes, but like no one else is allowed to fuck around. Like she always treats them all kind of almost like children. Mm-hmm. And that started to rub me the wrong way a little bit. And I get, look, that's her character. She's the lead. She's the heir. She has the gun. She puts that burden on herself because she loves everyone so much.
Yeah.
That she wants to protect them. But I just think it started to like really kind of upset me. And on Haught, I think, has my favorite line of the entire season in episode three at the, maybe, I guess it's the wake.
Yeah.
Winona is acting out, going like crazy, like Haught pours herself a beer and then Winona just takes it and Haught takes it back and is like, that was for me. And Winona like says something back and Haught looks at her in the eyes and was like, you don't get a monopoly over the grief we all feel.
Yeah,
like you don't get to act like this.
Same reference to Dolls.
Because we all feel this way.
Yeah.
And she just was reckless with it. And I feel like, I don't know, some of that was just kind of rubbing me the wrong way, which then obviously if that starts to rub you the wrong way, then the quips start to feel a little less funny because it's like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
So that's kind of the way I felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the one who was on Luke's side, so I still do think it was a better Winona season. But at the same time, some of the writing did bother me a good amount with Winona and you saying almost being like a hypocrite. Like, I didn't really like at all any of this back and forth with Charlie, Winona, Doc, blah, blah, blah. Like, I get Winona has those trust issues, and that's like really big part of her character. But at the same time, Doc basically says, like, I love you, I'll do anything for you. And she's like, I'm just going to go bang Charlie. I'll be right back. And
I have
just
an issue with that, too.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not how that goes.
Yeah, it is.
They're at the door. Yes. They're standing at the door together.
Oh, when he's a vampire at this point?
No. He goes to become a vampire right after that.
Yeah, this is the headquarters. And they're standing
the
at the door.
Episode.
Yeah, they're standing at the door together. And he pretty much, like, professes that he loves her, and he goes, we made a baby together, and they kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're thinking, like, she's going to be like, I love you too. And instead she's like, I'm out. And then she goes and bangs Charlie 2 seconds later.
My note was literally, Winona and Doc were back. And then like five notes later, I'm like, okay, I guess that was not it. I absolutely hated that.
Yeah.
And I also felt that way. I think I felt that way. And now I'm starting to like change what I remember from first two seasons, but I felt like I felt that way about the love triangle between Dolls, Doc, and Winona. I didn't love it
either.
Yeah,
that was a lot
back
and forth.
Just always felt like, okay, you can have your ups and downs with Doc, but just the way the downs go sometimes are a little so extreme.
Yeah. So here's how that episode happens from my recollection, and correct me if I'm wrong. It's the Christmas episode. Doc brings the Christmas tree and mom is like, get that Christmas tree out of my fucking face. Mm-hmm. Whatever is happening. They do kind of have this weird, like, missing each other vibe, mm-hmm. but they go to Kate's. Kate, he obviously had mm-hmm. banged Kate. She knew that
mm-hmm. well,
because of the knife was there. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then they go to the thing, kiss under the mistletoe. Yep. And then they're at the house having the Christmas dinner with mama. And then he leaves. He bounces because he's mad. And then she bangs Charlie and he bangs Kate at the same time.
No. You're missing the whole conversation.
And Charlie do the raid, save the kids. And Doc says, oh, like, didn't know that that happened until it comes up at the dinner table. And he's like, you didn't call me because you said you would call me if you needed backup. Yeah. And she's like, I didn't. Like, Charlie was there.
Right.
So he's like, oh.
So he saw me and left him bang Kate.
Yeah. And then Waverly says to Wynonna, I think, like, this is where you run after him, dumbass. And then mama gets in the way. But then Wynonna doesn't afterwards go. She goes and has sex with Charlie. And then at the same time, Doc gets bit.
Right. So
which is like bad on both sides.
Exactly. Totally. And that's my point. Yeah. It's not.
So you're not defending Wynonna. You're saying that everyone sucks.
Yes. Yes.
I think the whole writing for every relationship besides.
Yeah.
Waverly and Wayhot's the best relationship I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that's
dude.
What it is.
Yeah. But like every other relationship is just like, I would be done talking to these people.
Yeah.
15 years ago. Like,
it's also a little frustrating because for me personally, like, I had an issue with the whole love triangle stuff because it was kind of like, we had no idea as an audience, like, how do these people feel about each other? Really? Like, what is going on here? Cause this season starts and it's,
they hate each other.
Yeah. They have like they're like in the middle of the mission. And then Wynonna kisses Dolls on the cheek.
Yeah.
And then her and Doc are training in the barn. And then now they're making out, like, the two of them in the barn. And I'm like, well, didn't she just like kiss
it's
Dolls?
It's so
on
nonchalant
the cheek?
With, just back and forth.
First of all, I'm going to end the quip conversation just by saying I think the show really benefits in season 4 by getting the mature rating because now they could say fuck and it just cranks.
They did say it at the end of the season a couple times and they were good ones.
Yeah,
doesn't
I agree.
Nedley say one at the very
Nedley
end?
Nedley does at the very end and Wynonna has one that I was like, oh shit.
He said no one fucks with our family, right? Yeah,
I forget the exact line, but it was good.
So anyway, so it does benefit. I think you guys are going to be pleasantly surprised in season 4 how that helps. Okay, so a big thing in our last podcast episode was the love triangle.
Yeah.
And I was, Luke or Kyle or Jimmy, one of you were like, Kathleen is dying to say something because Luke had already seen Dolls die. Because he had seen two episodes.
Last, that is exactly it.
Yeah, yeah, so because
went,
you had watched
season
like
one?
Well, no. When we recorded our last, at the end of season 2.
We did our season 1 podcast. You had seen Dolls Die.
No. We did our season 2 podcast, and Luke had only seen like 3 episodes of 3.
Yes. Yeah.
And so he wasn't a vet, but he knew a lot. Like
I
enough.
Was so close in the middle of that podcast to saying to start the next conversation, RIP Dolls, right? Yeah. I was like, how did that fucking happen in the third episode of the season?
If you would have done that, like I wouldn't have guessed that, especially in the very beginning of the season. I would have never guessed that.
So Shamir, who plays him, just wanted to do like big movies. He ended up being in some pretty good movies afterwards.
What I read was, which I now hate it, is that he said that he thinks that the writers took his character as far as could go, which is just completely wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because I'm guessing Black Badge is going to be a huge part of season 4.
I hope so.
It's like, okay, the actor who played Dolls had no idea what they were getting into.
Yeah.
So I don't like that at all. And I also was souring on him at the end of, like, I liked him in the beginning of season 1 and I progressively like started to like him less and less. Cause I remember, Kathleen, you said a lot of audience members don't really mess with Dolls. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? He's the man. And now I totally get it. I'm not a huge fan of Dolls and they really don't bring him up that much. Like, he gets brought up sporadically, but his impact doesn't seem to have mattered past a couple episodes past his death.
So let me ask Kathleen, who knows more, way more than us, about just everything like behind the scenes and stuff. Did he bring this up and then they had to like figure it out like out of nowhere, or did they kind of know?
So he was at the Comic-Con leading into, so they were playing it like he was going to be in the season 3. You know what I mean? They do it in the summer and then whenever they launch season 3, and like Kate was on that panel because they do that at San Diego Comic-Con. Yeah. They're like, this is our new cast member, whatever. I think it was a civil separation and everyone loves him and loved him, especially Tim Rose on him or Buds. Like, I just think he wanted to get written off. So he did.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because honestly, and before I get into this, I want to say we're doing a lot of trash talking, but there's a lot of good stuff in season three.
Amazing
a lot
stuff.
Of good stuff. Yeah. But I had a pretty big problem with the writing for his write-off or his death. I just thought that was just out of nowhere to the point where it was not even a good out of nowhere. I was just like, oh, okay.
So I liked the episode three, which is his funeral wake, everything way better
great.
Than his actual death. And I think they probably just had to write him off. And I'm assuming they didn't know while they were writing two. So when they were writing three, they had to just get him off. And I think they did the best that they could in those like,
yeah, they like literally the only seeds they plant is Jeremy being like, bro, you don't know your symptoms. And then he's like, Waverly, Winona is going to need you. Oh, I'm dead. Like literally that's
it. It escalate super quick. Like him going wrong. But I'm such a sucker for a mid-season main character kill.
Oh, I'm fine like, with the fact that he's dead, but I just
trope breakers, and that was good enough for me because I was also okay with Hal's exiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it was powerful and good enough.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, obviously not the way I thought the love triangle was going to get resolved. I mean, Jesus
Christ. Did you
guess
that he was going to... No, didn't we all guess that she was going to end up with
Dolls? I actually said I wanted it to be Dolls, I'm pretty sure.
The literal process of elimination.
Yeah. I mean, like my notes, they're like, oh, he's not breathing.
Yeah.
And I was like, is he like actually dead? Yeah. Or like, is he going to be like
the fight, dead? Like the fight with him and Dolls in season one?
We've seen him do this before, pretty much play dead. Although I guess in that point, there's really no reason. But I mean, the only positive thing I have to say, I guess, about the lead up is that it gave us a little Jeremy character development where now he's kind of like more of an independent mover where, like, he doesn't just get bullied into orders by them. Like, I guess technically he like did what Dallas told him to, but he stands up to Doc a little bit in Shorties, which was like, okay, Jeremy, like, let's get it, bro.
He
like,
was great this season.
Yeah, I think we all agree Jeremy was the best.
Jeremy's awesome.
He was the man this season.
Is he gay in season two?
So in season two, Rosita tries to flirt with him and he's like, you're a girl.
Yeah, he literally likes Doc. He literally likes Doc right away. Oh, he's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, I say Dolls the same thing, but.
Yeah,
you know,
state in QB1.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Okay, so let's talk. We have so much to talk about. Well, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about episode one really quick. You kind of said it. So to answer your question from our season two coverage, will the baby tear them apart or keep them together? It does tear them apart in the beginning when they're fighting. She says like the only time he talks to me is if I keep him fighting or if he's mad, you know what I mean? So she keeps him fighting and mad or whatever that line is.
Yeah.
I loved the vampires. I thought that was a great addition of demons because I think me and Jimmy had this conversation.
Shit. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I forgot that was episode one. That feels like season two.
Yeah.
It's funny. Cause on season two, Luke, you were being like, does that happen in season three or season two?
Yeah.
But quick comment off that vampire thing. I thought it was going to be a more bad guy of the week, which it slightly was, but it gave us Doc's wife and it also planted the seed, which I like to recall because it made a lot more sense in hindsight of the main vampire caring about the original families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah,
I didn't think that was really going to be much more than just like a fealty thing to Bolshar, but that was arguably my favorite thing that Bolshar did, was like harvesting the memories of the original families, because spoiler, I didn't love the whole handling of Bolshar as the big bad of like what I thought was going to be the series.
It's funny because I thought Bolshar was going to be Endgame.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
I mean, I guess I wasn't thinking Garden of Eden or any of that stuff when there would have been no way to make those theories. But now that we have Garden of Eden and I guess Black Badge will do something, now we know there's more to it. But Bolshar, I thought, was literally Endgame.
Yeah.
And until like 10 minutes before the finale, I thought Bolshar was making it out of the into season four. And then as soon as like the scene starts happening, I'm like, okay, well, fucking Bolshar is going to die.
Yeah.
And damn, because I wanted him to be someone that carried over.
He had some sweet hats, dude.
Just wait. I mean, you guys are going to enjoy season four. I thought Bolshar was good. But we'll quickly, first of all, I wanted to say my favorite line of season three, which I kept pumping up last episode, which is, I know what you could eat, a dick.
That's episode one too,
it's right. And then he's like, excuse me, she's like, don't make me say it again.
Yeah
My favorite line, now that we're doing this, because oh my god, I was laughing so hard, it's the aftermath of when Waverly gets the ring and punches the shit out of one of the people, and it's her and Nicole talking, and she's like, oh, you can't wear this, we gotta get this off, you just like knock someone across the room. She goes, yeah, boy.
She was so
proud of herself.
Yeah. And Hot's like, no, yeah, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fucking hilarious. Also, yeah. There's Waverly was great this season. We already said it.
She was phenomenal. Waverly's
season. We opened season one and they're like Hot and Waverly like on the roof.
Flirting.
And Waverly's like, I don't need grace. I need steely Soviet precision. And then she barely hits him. And Hot's like, Soviet precision? You barely grazed him. They're so good together.
There was a scene, I believe it was episode 8, because I texted you guys and I was just like, I'm laughing. That was all I said.
Okay, wait.
But it was, I can't remember the line right now because I didn't write it down in my notes, but it was just like a back and forth scene with all of them, but Jeremy was the main part of it. And I was just dying. It wasn't like a specific line. It was just the entire sequence was killing me.
Wait, so one of my favorites of the whole thing is episode 8, the cold open, I'm going to call it, with Wynonna and Jeremy playing pool. And she's like, I lost an umbilical cord around here somewhere. But the whole bit of her just being like, this felt is disgusting. Yeah. It's like, pull your chin up. Like, yeah. I thought Jeremy's like comedy beats were perfect. Yeah.
I think he even says in that scene too, he's like, it's not fair. Like you gave birth on this pool table.
Yeah.
Like,
I honestly don't think I had any issues at all with Jeremy. I thought was MVP.
Oh, he's perfect.
Speaking of good lines, then this is the last one I'll bring up because I actually wrote down a lot. But when they're trying to get to Doc and Wynonna in the woods, when they're like wrapped up in the trees and
shit.
And then they find Bobo and they're like trying to figure out like how to get to it or whatever, and they're figuring out, and Jeremy goes to Hot and is like, well, you're the beaver expert. And then they're like, okay, well, we got the action, so they're gonna chop him down, and Jeremy's like, death to Bobo. He's gonna like kill Bobo, and they're like, no. He was wilding out. It was so good.
That's a crazy episode. We can get into that later. That's like a very like niche episode.
But I want to stay on the one thing you said about Jeremy saying that he was pretty much flawless. There was one question I had, and this doesn't really need an answer, but were we given anything on why he has powers and what that
he's
means?
Inhuman somehow?
It was when he was trapped in the car with his mom for 3 days, like his dead mom for 3 days, and like that somehow happened. But he also says in a previous season, he's like, in the season,
yeah, it's
season
the witch.
Three.
The fire witch says he's inhuman when she goes in him.
Yeah, and also Maeve, great. Nicola's Maeve is so good.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. But Jeremy says to Dolls's friend who comes to the funeral, he's like, Black Patch did things to me too. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So there's like a bunch of different things, but he is like an empath because of the car crash. With
I didn't
mom.
Have an issue with it. So I just felt like they didn't talk about
are
it.
Are we
going
to find anything out? Are we going to find out? Like, he's half angel too, right?
He's Julian's kid as well.
Yeah.
But one more Jeremy thing. I love when Waverly like hits a guy or whatever. He's like, since when did you get a finishing move?
I love that one.
It's so good.
There's also a great little fist bump between Jeremy and Waverly. I also love that he calls her his best friend at the end of the season. That was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, and okay, last thing we'll say, because Jeremy was killing it, is when he like actually shows movements to use his power, and he like grabs his dick. He's like, Doc.
Yeah.
I thought that was
I was so like confused because he's literally like zooming in on his dick, and I'm like, is that where he feels it? Right in his plums? Like,
wait, that's like in what episode is that?
Probably like 10 or 11, right?
I
wrote it down so I can find it eventually.
But freaking Maeve, man, when she turned into Jeremy, she just gets a whole handful of
it. Dude, I was dying at that.
When
she
he's like,
right now.
Yeah.
They were both really good at playing Maeve. And I said that in a previous episode where I'm like, when anytime anyone gets to play a different character than themselves, like they're like switch, and that happens a bunch in four. Exactly. Yeah. It's perfection.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to be making some changes to my top four, and I want to have a game time decision because I'm still not decided yet.
Okay, so next.
It's episode 10.
Dude, this is spoiling.
I thought it was.
We can't move away from Jeremy yet.
It's episode 10 when he grabs his sack.
One thing I noticed is, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the writers did a good job of giving Jeremy that power and then not letting him ever meet Jolene. They were never on the screen at the same time, Jeremy and Jolene. She never gave him the goods.
Oh,
because, right? Because I was questioning the whole time. I was like, I assume that Jeremy was eventually going to meet her, which he never does. I was like, he's going to feel all of this, right?
Right,
and
right,
because
right.
It kind of sidesteps that.
So
that's what I was worried about.
What do they have him doing during Jolene? I can't remember.
Jeremy, isn't this? I think he's with the quarterback for most of this episode.
Yeah, he's probably with Robin. I'm not sure because the Jolene episode. No, actually, because The Jolene episode is pre-Christmas.
Well, it's episode five.
It's pre-Christmas, and Robin's actually gone, so I don't know where Jeremy is in that off the top of my head.
I was just watching from the whole time to see what he would.
That's
how
a good
he
point.
Would read Jolene the demon.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't that have been something that he would have known?
Okay, let's
He's
talk through
be
Jolene.
He's got to be somewhere because she goes everywhere. Well, she goes to the bar. Jolene is literally everywhere.
So episode four is when, at the end, we get introduced to her. So Jeremy in episode four is when
she
gets,
comes in at the very
gets,
end, though.
Yeah, he gets introduced to Robin in episode four.
Okay, okay.
Side note about this, which is funny, is that when I was writing my notes, I like didn't really hear Robin's name, so I was just kind of writing them fast as I was watching. My note says, Jeremy needs some ass, dot, 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 enter Jeremy. And then I went back and like when I reread it today, I'm like, oh my God, I wrote entered like Jeremy's going to suck himself off.
I was writing QB1 as Robin's name.
I love that.
I immediately said that I was in for the relationship. But then the next time we see Jeremy, I believe after that is then in episode six.
Mm-hmm. So he's just not in it.
Yeah,
he just wasn't
yeah in when we yeah get Robin back.
And that's actually amazing because Luke, you're correct. And let's talk about the Jolene episode because it's one of my favorite of the series. So I fell in love with Dom Provo-Chalkley, who plays Waverly. They have a podcast episode on Tales of the Black Badge. And I've listened to it a million times. They basically just talk about the mindset that they had to get into for this. I mean, it ends in at the end of the previous episode. They're all eating the cakes. It's goofy as hell. You know what I mean? It's really funny. And they said they were just like laughing their asses off recording that or taping that for that whole time. But then they kind of had to do this thing where you separate yourself completely because they're all goofy. There's bar fights. There's this, there's that. But they were like, they had to be, everyone was being mean to them the whole time.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when Jolene and Waverly are screaming at each other in their faces, and they said the camera was in their face, like right here. And that is so intense. Yeah. I mean, Jolene is like depression personified. And it's such a good episode. They kill it on that podcast episode. I've listened to it four times. It's really good. Anyone who hasn't listened to that, shout out Kevin for the Black
definitely Patch need to listen to that.
Is there anything deeper to Jolene saying she was like a twin?
So it's supposed to be like when Waverly was born as an angel, there's so much light that they had to counter it with dark. Yeah. So she was like the evil twin. Okay. And I think Jolene tries to tell her she's a changeling, which isn't true.
Okay, I wrote that down. Yeah. And I wanted to talk about that. Okay, changelings are...
Because she does not know she's an angel at this point. Right. So, yeah, I love that episode. I thought it was so sick how they changed Mama. You think Mama's crazy bananas, but she's actually just like... had the demon Jolene on her in the Dude. The whole time.
Yeah.
So sick.
That's also, I think, the best Winona episode.
Which one?
Is the Jolene, one, episode five. Because then the bar fight is great.
That's amazing.
Cheater, cheater, where'd you meet her?
And then Mama and Winona in the cell is great when they're like high-fiving each other and shit.
Yeah.
And then Mama says something like,
Mama. Mama.
That's like us from Haunting a Hill House. Mama.
But
they're talking about, I guess it's Alice. And Mama says, like, oh, like, imagine us like toasted on schnapps at the back of the of the Christmas play. Like, I just loved that whole scene together with the two of them.
Yeah.
I was getting so frustrated, and in a good way, like, it's the point of it. When you would think they're getting there and all of a sudden take another bite. And I'm like, God damn it. But Doc killed me. Every time he took a bite, he was like, oh, yeah.
And she even says, like, men are so much easier.
Yeah. Like every other one, you kind of just like see it in their eyes. And then they're a little bit. Doc's always just like, oh, yeah.
I hated seeing everyone being mean to Waverly.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
sucks.
It was crazy.
I mean, that's Jolene's entire thing, right? Her whole life, she was like the darkness, the demon, when she just wanted, it's her birthright, she says, you know?
Are you saying Jolene or Julian?
Jolene.
Okay.
Sorry. We mumbled.
I was having a little Pan situation there.
Are you saying Pan?
But we figured it out. Yeah.
It's with an M. Are you saying Pan?
They mentioned it too, I think. That they mentioned it in probably the end of season one when Waverly was, or maybe it was probably season two, because that's Waverly's like identity crisis kind of thing. She says, like, we have no pictures of me as a kid, right? Don't they say that early?
Yeah.
And it's because the mom was ripping them all
up.
And I was always curious about that because Waverly was just like, I'm jealous of you and Willow. You guys are in all these pictures and I'm not.
Yeah.
And that was dope. Do you think that was thought of like early enough where...
I do. And I feel like I've seen a panel where Emily kind of knew her trajectory. Yeah. But fun facts, Zoe Palmer, who plays Jolene, is a main character on Lost Girl, Emily's old show. And Anna Silk, who plays Kevin, is the lead of Lost Girl, which is really cool. So seeing like seeing Kevin and Wynonna in the same scene, it's like Emily Andrews is like two badass leads. I mean, the whole point of Lost Girl is like she's like a bisexual succubus. So she dates Zoe Palmer's character. They're like the love interest in that show. There's a guy too in the middle of it, but
what
it's great.
And there's deal Faye. With Kevin just disappearing and not being anything.
She gave him the info and let him roll out.
She wasn't supposed to like help at all, really. I think. Shout out to Kevin from Black Badge, literally named after him.
Oh. No way.
Yeah.
What?
They named that character after him.
That's awesome.
Dude, you know you made it when you got that.
That is so cool. Yeah. Wow. Because, I mean, obviously they make it into a joke. Like, did you say Kevin? She goes, yeah, what of it? Or whatever.
Yeah. And then there's one part where she's like, who's that guy? Or something. Or like, what guy is that when you're talking about Waverly and Kevin?
So will we find out? It seems like there's a difference between Kevin and the men folk and Juan Carlos' curse. His non-interference curse.
Okay, that's we're gonna go here. This is like the deep plot holes issues because I think it's pretty accepted in the fandom that they just retconned all of Juan Carlo from season one.
Like, what does that mean?
Retcons means they write something in the story that completely contradicts earlier stuff.
It's like a rewrite.
One of the things that Juan Carlo tells Dolls right before Juan Carlo dies outside the church is, I used to be immortal like you before I got my... Yep. That's just completely doesn't make sense.
That's why I was just saying he wasn't an angel to start this pod, but he is.
If it's retcon, it works.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally what it is. And that's fine. I'll accept it.
We were saying like the whole thing with season one and two, JC, Juan Carlo, you know, I'm guessing, I was like, is he the angel? Is he the dad? And then he's like, oh, I'm a guy. I'm just a guy who got some powers. And then I was like, oh, so maybe angels aren't really in it, you know? And then they basically say he is.
And then his interfering.
How come he gets old and Julian looks like a hot piece of ass? Dude?
Julian's so hot.
His whole thing, though, about which is this is, I guess, part Preach. Of the retcon is that Juan Carlos says, I can't interfere. This is like the last, like his little intervention at the end before he died was him slightly interfering. But now Julian can do whatever he wants. He can come out here and murder people, save people, and do all this. So it's like that whole interfering thing only applied to Juan Carlos. So I guess that's part of the retcon, but it just writing fell apart a little bit when you look back on what they did with Juan Carlos' character.
Yeah.
I thought he was part of the best part of the lore and like, what the fuck is this entity that's super cool part of the Wynonna Earp universe, but that part didn't really hit once Julian started having all these things about him that didn't vibe with him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that in the very first two seasons of Wynonna, before we get the answers to JC, like I literally was like, he's probably the most intriguing part right now of Wynonna.
Oh, his introduction was amazing.
Yeah.
Juan Carlo, you're talking? Dougie P?
Yeah,
Dougie P.
When him and Doc on the side of the road, that was great.
My note is, Doug Peterson is back, baby!
Yeah, my first note for episode 10 is Dougie P looking slick AF with that stash. Because he did, he looks great. I love how they call him Padre, too, not Father.
Yeah.
Do we want to jump while off this branch? Do we want to just talk about Charlie/Julian? Because I feel like we've been...
Yeah, big time. So what'd you guys think of... Okay, first of all, did anyone guess? Up until like that episode?
No, hell no.
Not until they literally told you and it flunged out or what? Like until Doc was like, I need his blood.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was any hints until he literally is like, even when he's revived, he's just a guy still and he's still acting like he's Charlie.
Yeah, I agree
and
with that.
And only when she touches him again, you start to see the flashbacks and he's back, did I go, oh, okay. Like I had no idea.
I love Charlie, by the way. Like, okay, I thought Charlie and Wynonna were fucking great together.
Yeah.
Like, he was such a good personality. And then when you started getting more about him and he transformed into Julian, I don't know necessarily that I loved him, but I still think he was a great character.
I'm actually not happy he's dead.
Like, yeah.
I wanted more of him.
I liked his character a lot. And looking back, it does seem he is very Waverly-esque.
Yeah,
in how he acts. Mm-hmm. Him and Wynonna have that immediate chemistry, but he's like a good guy who does a lot of good stuff. He's not mean in any way. Doesn't really say anything negative to anyone, things like that. But if I'm honest, but now looking back that the season's finished, the whole relationship between him and Wynonna is just whack. Looking back now too, because like Wynonna was banging Waverly's dad.
Oh yeah, it's so
who was also her mom's like
love.
Hell yeah, man. Yep.
But it makes sense that he has a crush on Wynonna, who is like identical to her fucking mom.
They do play that earlier in the season too. That they're like this her mama and Wynonna are very similar. But I that's just like once that realization came out, that was the first thing I thought of was like, Okay, Winona was just banging her mom's love.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
Waverly's dad. And also, I think it just threw another whole wrench. Like, it just made everything with Doc also incredibly more confusing. Because, like, we have the initial scene where they bang at Christmas. And then Winona and Doc, I believe, they have the whole, like, delusion episode where they're in the,
where they're banging they, but they're not
and they're like banging but not, and they're like not together, but you can tell they like really care about each other, and it's probably a little bit more than friendship.
Okay.
And then but then at the end when like we just come
she's
in
mad
and,
again and that's
and,
it
and he's like she's mad again, of course. Yeah. And then we walk into Charlie fixing the lawnmower in the barn, and then Winona basically is like, well, I got bigger shit to do, so he gets a little butthurt about it, but she's like, oh, we can just start banging again in the spring. And I was like, well, how what do you mean by
about that?
Like, you and Doc just had this fucking Vision Quest moment where you guys were like, so I just like, it's just confusing to me. I don't get, I guess it's purposely like that.
It's really interesting because I've seen this episode maybe five, six times. And I didn't realize that the banging wasn't part of the Vision Quest. The banging happened. I was always like, oh, they didn't actually fuck. They were just, but they did. They fucked. Nicole saw, like, went in and was like, oh, shit, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Put some clothes on. What am I going to tell Waverly? And then when they're getting them out of the trees, Nicole's like, yeah, they're having sex. And Waverly's like, I thought you said they were fighting or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, they're physically doing it, but they're clouded over.
Well.
And just going through the motions of the, what, still of in, the delusion. Yeah.
You know, I think they actually bang, and then he's like, when they fall asleep, Bolshard's like, let's fucking go.
No, snap. I thought the whole point was that he does it and then she walks in after. I'm pretty sure he blows the stuff in their face and then she walks in after when the whole delusion
it's
is starting.
I don't know. But either way, I agree.
Well,
you live through a Vision Quest.
I guess, like, there's one thing where you can have like a toxic, confusing relationship, but this felt like just almost bad writing almost, where it was like we had no chance to like understand. Like I have a note where I think it's, I don't even remember what episode it is, it might even be episode 11 or 10, where I wrote like, did I skip an episode? Like when, like, oh yeah, when Charlie's working on the lawnmower and then she hugs them and like she's like, just hold me or whatever, things like that, and I'm like, did I miss something?
Yeah.
I don't think, we just got out of the Vision Quest delusion episode.
I think the biggest thing is we were already dealing with the Doc and Dolls thing. And
yeah,
it was almost allowable because they had so much history both at the same time. They're both kind of meeting at the same time. And they're both, and then we're annoyed about that triangle. And then all of a sudden, Winona just decides, you're a hot dude and I'm going to add you to the triangle. Like,
it just makes it confusing. And it seems like, yeah, not like a pointless conflict, but it's just like, did we need it?
I think we're too much into this, because I agree that we kind of beat it to death of what we think about these love.
But let me just go. I'm pretty sure we're done talking about Mama. So I have a question about Mama.
Hit me
before we
Mama.
Go to the next. Was she purposely written off? Like, was there some reason to not have her in this season, or
wait,
is just how it
what
was
do you mean in this season?
She literally starts in the beginning and then says, I'm going to go find Julian, and never shows up again for the entire season.
Well, I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah, I thought that was by
design.
Yeah,
but what I'm asking is there a reason why they just wanted to get rid of her for?
So I would think that it's the whole Julian Charlie involvement. Like, they can't exist in the same scene. Like,
right.
They cannot.
So there's no,
she'd be
that
like,
makes sense.
She'd be
so
like, my
meant,
boy, that's my boy.
Yeah, but what exactly. I so what I meant was like, was there any like behind the scenes thing,
no,
where they're just like, oh, she's done too, like Dolls was done.
She's actually like, they love her to death. And is a pretty famous actress in Canada, I think. And it was like a good get to get her for that. And I'm not going to say anything more.
She's great.
I agree. Yeah. She's a badass.
She was she came out of nowhere too. Like, there's that whole personality shift. I liked it. But I want to stay one more thing on Charlie, because one of the things I was complaining about at the end of last podcast was I hated how Dolls just did that whole thing where he murdered all the firemen.
Yes.
And then when I said that, you guys were saying like, did he? Like,
yeah, was there any left?
Like, what
yeah.
the heck are you talking about? And then that confused the shit out of me because I didn't know what was right. And then they did a great little mini one-liner when they gave Charlie's backstory. And he's like, okay.
Lost a lot of good
men.
Yeah,
he says, we lost a lot of good men. I was like, okay, I appreciate that. I don't know how everybody else
line.
Is.
Check. Love those little lines.
Because I'm a sucker for like consistent writing.
Yeah,
like
right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that real quick, because I need to make sure I understood. So Charlie, I guess Julian originally left.
He got kicked out by Ward. Ward literally pushes him out of the triangle.
And then he lost his memory? Or no, he still had his memory then when he was outside the Ghost River Triangle.
No, leaving the triangle made him lose his memory, and he was wandering, he
said.
And
then he saw Waverly step outside for a second, which was a huge, like, basically
to make sure she's not a Revenant. Remember when, last season.
And that was like a signal fire to him, who's like, okay, what is that? I'm going towards him. When he comes back, he just kind of wanders in. Okay.
It's kind of like when they showed up at the greenhouse, he was like, how do we get here?
Yeah.
And he's like, I just turned left or turn right and we're here.
Yeah, no, I'm good with that. I just wanted to clarify because that's what my understanding was, and I'm good with all that.
And I think that was really well written.
Yeah.
I think that was perfect.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to say some things that we haven't touched on. So last episode, the very last scene is Dolls giving Nicole that weird look in the car, and everyone was like, what was that vibe? Was that like a mean vibe? Was that like a what kind of vibe is that? It was that Nicole was a survivor of Cult of Bolshar back in the day, like kind of like a lone survivor type deal. What'd you guys think of that?
And he was like recognizing it or he was helping her figure it out.
No, he was helping her.
Why
was
is he giving
her
the
look,
though? I don't still.
I just think the look was like, it's secretive. Like, she doesn't want people to know. So it was him being like,
I got you.
Yeah. And that's like, when he dies, I like that. She's like, I have keys to his place. We have a working relationship.
Now, easy to read it now as like worry, concern. Like, everyone else is celebrating while the two of them know that, like,
there's more to it.
There's bigger stuff out there. Yeah. That they kind of have already moved past to where they're now, like, what's the next mission, kind of. I was shocked that it got wrapped up in episode one.
I was going to say, I feel like it didn't pay off enough for it to be for me to care.
So I think that the payoff is it gives a little bit more backstory to Nicole. Her parents suck. Nedley is like a second father to her. And
that was
Nedley,
good reveal.
The Nedley thing was my takeaway from that.
That
exactly.
was a good reveal, yeah.
Okay, so we'll dive into the Gnome Wife episode is a favorite of mine. Them being drunk is so dumb and stupid. I love it to death. Their
only one of them
incredible.
Drunk, though.
Well, right. But Nicole being drunk is fucking
every
hilarious.
Time she's drunk, she's doing it for me.
Yeah. Every episode 7 is a drunk Winona Nicole episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, because last time it was Nicole getting drunk for Winona at the bar. Yeah. With the Revenant
at strip club, right?
Yeah, and then the one before was them getting drunk in the morgue, being like, that ass is top
shelf. Oh, yeah, and she says it again this season about her
top
ass.
Shelf. Okay, so there's a line Winona says, like, I'm the girl with the big ass gun, and now she didn't have the gun,
so she goes,
I'm just the girl with the big ass, and she's like. She's like, girl, and she's like, yeah, them boots is tight. Top shelf.
Yeah,
it's
but
good
trivia,
stuff.
What's the name of the strip club?
Pussy Willows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so that's Nicole. I love that. I love her and Nedley. We get some more good stuff of them next season.
Yeah.
She had a really good season.
I think she had a really good season with Waverly.
Agreed.
I didn't necessarily care that much about her by herself.
I think that Nicole is constantly fighting being an outsider. And I think the Jolene up did a good thing of that, kind of bringing back the how she feels like she wasn't in the loop before. Because Jolene's like, oh, yeah, the girls are just off doing something. I guess they didn't tell you. And she's like, those bitches.
Yeah.
don't take that as like,
no,
I know
totally.
You have a personal connection to
and
Nicole
I
Waverly. I don't. Like dislike Nicole at all. I think she's pretty flawless, but the thing is there's nothing that's making me elevate her to I love this
okay
character.
Listen, episodes 1-6 of next season are Nicole episodes. Cool. It is so sick.
She's done no wrong in my eyes. I just don't think that she is in my top 4,
and she grows her hair out. Oh,
that was
been
my
telling
only
me
issue
about
with
that
her.
Since season 1. Yeah. I'm saying Nicole is a hot girl.
Yeah, but I mean, she was rocking the short hair, and I usually don't like. I'm not a big short
I love
hair
redheads.
Fan usually, but. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I was honestly, even in the small subplot of her becoming sheriff, I was really invested in that.
Agreed.
I just wanted to see her get the promotion. I like how the city councilwoman was just a piece of shit.
Yeah, right.
Wait. Yeah, Bun. Okay, Jan Arden is a Canadian legend. Like, she is a very famous singer in Canada. Like, very, very famous. She has a new show on Hulu called Jan. Like, they gave her Jan Arden.
Wow.
Bunny Loblaw is in season 4, and she's incredible.
Oh, really?
I did not think she was
Yes, she's fucking awesome. But that's just, she's just like a homophobic piece of shit.
Oh, my
love,
God.
Love her. Love her to death. Okay, next. Kate, we didn't really dive into it. How do we feel about Doc having a secret vampire wife?
I don't have a strong opinion on Kate.
Yeah, I don't either.
I like her, like the role that she plays outside of being Doc's wife, because it just further muddies the romantic waters that I thought personally they didn't do a great job of writing.
Yeah.
We've talked about that a lot. I liked her, like the tarot cards. I like that. Whole shit.
See, I agree with you where my favorite Kate stuff is when she's with Winona.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
know, like when she takes the gun and she's like, you palmed it or whatever. And then they go to the Salt Witch area. And I forget what she says about like choosing your own death. I really like those scenes. I think Kate's a badass. The flashbacks of Kate and Doc make me so mad. Doc's such a piece of shit. He's like, you playing games with me, girl? Like, Jesus Christ, go out to kill this bitch.
Well, not in the Bolshar meeting. Like, that was
fine. Well, that was fine. But he's also like,
is that the first time Doc ever met Bolshar?
Yeah.
Yes. That whole area is like the spark of it all.
Yeah.
When he was just sheriff, a mortal sheriff. Yeah.
I think this season leans more into the fact that Doc's flawed.
Oh, my God.
Than any other season, you know, so far. Yeah.
I can't wait for you guys to see next. And this is a good time to say we're covering season four every two episodes.
Parts. Yeah.
Two.
We're doing six parts?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Me.
The people have spoken.
Yeah. Okay, another one.
Last thing I want to say about Kate.
And why is it called Countessa?
So Countessa, this is my confusion. Is a vampire.
Vampire thing, yeah.
Countessa. But he was been calling her that as if he used to call her that.
Well, she is Bulgarian royalty.
Okay. That's
her backstory. I don't know if it's
European family.
Exactly. Yeah. Her family in Europe. She was royalty.
Okay.
And she's like, I know what you're thinking. Like, someone like me with my skin or whatever, like, just easily would get written out of history.
Oh,
that's why, like,
Lana's yes.
like, well, like, has a little bit of a look. And she's like, they just, you know.
I thought
white people wrote history on Black Dead. Yeah. Be in it.
I thought the scene with Winona and Kate.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When they're just sitting there and they bring out the drinks and then the stone witch shows up. That's when
that's
the interruption. Yeah.
She looked hot in the flashback again.
The stone witch?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say when she's fucking barbecued Khaleesi.
Even hotter at the barbecue.
I mean, it's sad. Like, Kate wasn't a vampire, obviously. Doc got sent to immortal wellness and she became immortal to find him, and then she gets nothing for that. I mean, he was a dick to her, but like,
yeah,
it's interesting. I thought that was a good backstory. Two people becoming immortal, one trying to find the other probably just absolutely forgetting the other. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Doc. They say, like, you know how much opium we smoked? Like,
yeah, but he also says to her, like, he got sick and she left.
Yeah,
that happened first.
Yeah,
because like, Winona even says to her, like, you abandoned him.
Yeah,
and then she explains herself.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is kind of totally switching gears here. Like, at the end of that Christmas episode, when Doc is just like fed up because she didn't need him, he wants to be needed so bad.
Yeah.
And when she looks at him and is like, I need you, he's like, do it. Fucking do it. He just wants someone to meet him.
I wasn't expecting him to become a vampire at all.
Yeah. At first, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
But then he also plays it later in the season where, like, it's packaged as, I did this for you.
Yeah.
Which felt a little odd because definitely didn't get that vibe when it happened. It's not like it didn't feel like, I guess you could argue that he felt like, yeah, like, he wasn't needed because Hare and Charlie did the work, got the kids back. So then he went to go make himself a vampire.
Yeah.
So that he was more useful to Winona.
And I like,
but you
how,
didn't get that vibe from the
no.
scene. Yeah.
I did like the speech or whatever that he gives her when he says, like, I did this for you and for Alice so that I'm immortal. If anything happens to you, nothing's happened to Alice. I'll be here.
Well, listen, I think that that porch scene, some of the best acting so far, thus far. Them screaming, he's like,
running out of road.
You are running out of road. And then when he's like, don't you do this? It took me till this time, since we've been talking about vampires so much recently, for her to be like, you're not welcome in our home anymore.
Yeah,
to be a literal vampire role. Like,
yeah.
You cannot come in because vampires must be invited into places. I did not understand that until this viewing.
Dracula, I mean, they're going really with the whole, you can't take pictures,
the
glamour, like all the other rules.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about being out and during the day rule, like that thing.
They don't care about the killing, the vampire that turned. They say something like, that's a myth. That's a myth.
And then the whole, I guess they added that they only heal at night.
Yeah, because
that was
the one
cool.
night didn't happen.
Yeah, the
so
night didn't happen. It's
up.
Like Iceland, man.
Yeah, it was really funny when they're in the barn and it's towards the end and I don't remember what it is. Oh, it's
Nicole's hurt.
Yeah. And then I think it's Winona is like, Waverly's alone in the house, like, go. And he's like, I can't. You need to give me permission. And she's like, you have permission.
Yeah.
And then he runs out. That was really funny.
Well, speaking of that, Bobo loves jazz, which I thought you would just
Bobo.
Love.
Yeah, if we're going to talk about Bobo,
I did, because
you're digging some.
It led because Waverly's up there with Bobo. And I just thought Kyle would love that Bobo was into jazz.
I really liked those scenes
that
with Robin.
Yeah, me too.
I just very disappointed with where they went with Bobo.
Okay, so I will say I completely agree with the last thing that happened to Bobo sucked and was unsatisfying.
Yeah.
But everything else before that, I was still sticking by. He is the most entertaining. Every time he's on the screen and he's talking about his past.
Yeah,
it's so integral. It's just like he is way better to me than Bolshar ever was in any way. He's just so fucking great. And I hate that he didn't get redeemed because the path was laid when the Revenants left him in the box. The path was laid. That could have been the last straw that made him turn full good.
Yep.
And I get that his whole thing was he wanted to do this and then have Waverly set him free the way that she could. But my God, still, I'm still sticking by like he's incredible. Gonna be my top four.
Mm-hmm.
He's my favorite character, probably. Maybe.
I think his ending
kind of sucked a little bit.
I was literally down with Bobo, probably just because I liked his actor and how he was being portrayed acting in season one. You guys didn't even like him then. And then he gets the backstory.
Yeah, by the end of season one.
And then he gets the backstory and you're like, damn, he's the man. And I still agree. Like, I loved Bobo. And that's why I was upset, because it just seemed like Luke said they're planting all these seeds that he's going to be good. And then it was like, boom, another heel turn where he's just like, I'm a piece of shit again, and I'm going to screw all you guys, and I'm killing your dad, Waverly, and then you can kill me, and I'm done.
If he didn't kill Charlie, it would have been better. Because, like, he would have died. Like, he could have laid on the whole, I'm faking this so Waverly would set me free and stuff. But, like, the way he did that, I just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, looking at my notes from the finale episode, it says Bobo's in the homestead. Like, when Waverly shuts the door, and he's sitting there. And then I'm like, but he isn't actually bad, ? Like, he's playing both sides like, to die is what it came down to. But I was kind of like, is he like good right now? Is he bad right now? Like, I don't
should have been good.
But I guess he was always playing his own side, technically.
Yeah, I just
so it does make sense.
I would have just thought that they would. There's a lot of bets that I would have made and lost for this season. And I would have thought Bobo would have lasted till season four.
So. Okay, here's what I'll say. I never thought Bobo was going to turn good ever when I was watching. I loved that a character that's pure bad, mostly for me. I'm like, Bobo is bad, except to Waverly. I love that he had that like Achilles heel for Waverly. And I think that's what he's never... Waverly. I also just think his mannerisms are just perfect. Like the bite he does. Like,
oh,
like,
well, that's the whole thing.
And
exactly.
The fingers.
The hands, yeah, so good.
Him tapping on the glass and just being like, like,
they
let me listen.
They kind of just dropped the whole plot line with him being Magneto. But like,
except
whatever.
They will.
Well,
he
no, he did it at the end to kill Julian.
Takes the sword.
Yeah. So I thought they handled him perfectly. Of course, the only thing I will say I don't really get is Waverly touching their face and they die. I don't really know about that. But like, what is she doing by doing that? Just burning their face, or is there like sucking their soul?
Well,
like,
she's
what's
an
going
angel
on?
And she has the ring on.
But,
I'm okay with that.
But anyway, I love Bobo. I think that was perfect. I think he was fucking incredible. Michael Glynn is like
it made it even more powerful about the whole my angel thing, like from the first season, like that's
angel.
The fucking best thing ever. I was fine with it not even being directly an angel, because it was the whole like time loop thing with Winona, and it just got even better.
That's probably the best consistent plot line throughout
is
the first
Bobo's
throughout
connection
the whole
with
show.
Waverly.
Yeah, and that they planted the 100%. Season one with the angel, and then we get the flashback in two.
The red
and then,
herring of
and
him
then,
being the dad, but then not really.
And then we get the vision quest from Winona saying her name is Waverly to him, and then that name gets planted in him, which then
the best.
She's actually an angel.
It's literally it's my favorite plot line of the whole show is everything connected with Bobo.
Dude.
Once we get to the second half of season one.
How when they show the flashback where he is the man and he pretty much goes to war and he's like, you're a piece of shit. And if you mess with Waverly, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Why is he strong enough to threaten Ward? Is it because they already had their deal? You know, because he like pulls the gun in, it's kind of burning them.
Like before.
And I thought the whole point was he can't do that to Peacemaker.
No,
thought...
no, he's done that before to Peacemaker. He's stolen Peacemaker and it burns him, but he's like tough enough to
hold
it.
Okay, so yeah, and he holds the gun, he's just like, I'll kill you. So I guess Ward's just a wuss, because Winona would have just been like,
yeah,
all right, bro.
I think he's just a pussy, and Bobo is... oh, such a good big bad. Like he I wish he was ever the big bad. He's really not ever. He's just
season
like
one
a kinda, bad.
But yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't even want him to be the big bad.
Really, Luke wants him good.
It's better that he's dark gray.
Yeah. I love that. Dark gray. I've never
he's
heard
so
that
dark
in my life.
Gray, dude. He's not like...
He was gray until that last scene of this season. Then he switched a little bit more to the dark side.
I'm kind of glad Julian died. I don't think he has a place in season four. Now that I've seen season four, I don't think there's a place for him. I think that now Waverly is the half angel and she's like has to own that on her own. Yeah. I think that's like a good.
And also it's better that there's no like with the whole Winona banging him thing. It also lets Mama come back into the show potentially. Yeah. I feel like there was just like going to be a lot of logistical bullshit with that. Mm-hmm. So I liked him a lot as a character.
Yeah, me too.
He was a great guy, very attractive man.
Yeah, okay.
Very, very attractive man. So Luke and Kyle as the Rooks, do you guys think Waverly will actually look like an angel at any point?
With wings?
Like he does, yeah. Or do you think that she's just Waverly with some powers? She's got the ring.
I have no guess. I'm just, I don't know. Yeah. Probably
just one wing.
I think she'll probably.
Yeah, well, that's the statue.
Yeah, that's what I was also like.
Wait, she really?
That's the statue.
It has one wing.
It has one wing.
Oh.
I think so. Yeah,
and she's she's Sephiroth, dude, the one winged angel.
Fuck that dude in Kingdom Hearts.
He's so hard, but I did it, dude.
I think it seems like we're headed the route where she will probably have wings.
Yeah, I think something with the Garden of Eden will probably make her fully.
There's a line in episode 10 that says that Waverly will turn to stone when she takes her father's rightful place and sits on the throne.
Yeah,
I just said, huh?
That's a hot line.
That's my that's just like, what does that
That's
mean?
The whole, like, but you're sacrificing
that's
yourself.
That's what Kevin told
everyone.
Her. Kevin was like, yeah, you're good, but you'll
so I
die.
Assume
but that was instead of if you don't kill Bolshar, because they killed Bolshar, so now it's fine? Is that what the end game was for this season?
I think that Julian and Juan Carlo were protecting the Garden of Eden, and now that Bolshar is gone, that just means the revenants are gone. So
yeah, there
there's
could be
still
other
many demons out there.
Yeah, but what
and
I was saying is,
so there's still like someone still needs to take the throne or take the guard or take whatever. So I think that's what.
So who had it before?
It could have
Carlo,
been,
well,
but they weren't.
Well, it says her father's
place.
Take she's your
now,
father's place.
Yeah, she's now in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. They had never seen it. Bolshar even says to Julian, right. Like, you've never even been in there.
And they say that about the Garden of Eden, if you're non-mortal, it fucks you up.
Yeah,
right?
That was the other question I had. Why was Doc able to go in?
I'm assuming that's going to be an obstacle.
He's undead.
So I thought the whole point was you have to be mortal. Like, I literally thought that was the point.
I didn't know it was the barrier to get in. I thought it was you're getting fucked up when you get in there if you are not mortal. I might have missed that.
I thought that Winona says that Bolshar had to get rid of the curse, so he's now mortal so he can go in.
Oh, you might be right. That sounds
and that's
right.
Why she said you can't go in to Doc, but I don't. Maybe it is just like some bad will happen.
But also with the Doc thing, he got out of the holy rope. So is he starting to become less vampire? And that's why he was allowed to pass in.
That's another thing. How Winona's like, where have you been? He's like, well, bro, you put the holy rope around me.
I know
me.
It's supposed to be a joke, but at that point of the season where I'm at with Winona, I'm like, dude, shut up.
I thought that final Winona Bolshar fight was awesome. I loved her anointing.
Look at her dodging the fucking questions we're trying to get.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't want to say anything.
Well,
about
I will say though, like I thought that the last two eps were strong for Winona,
Thank you.
I did
think so,
and I
thank you.
I take that personally.
Especially the outfits.
I think we need to spend like a couple minutes here talking about Bolshar from front to back. So I want to know. Yeah, I think you two lead.
Sweet hats.
Let's literally talk about. Okay, we can talk about from kind of the dinner they have when they capture her for fealty on. Winona gets captured by the Revenants or like dolling her up. It's like a funny get. By the way, I just wanted to say Mercedes is back. Incredible.
She's
awesome. So true. Oh my
God.
I was
so
amazing.
Happy to see her. For anyone, this is crazy if you're listening to this and hasn't seen it yet, but Dani Kind is a treasure who plays her. She's a lead on Working Moms on Netflix. Fucking awesome show. 5 seasons. So fucking good. And she's absolutely savage, just like Mercedes in that show. It's fiction, but it's not like sci-fi. It's just like whatever. But
she's a great actress.
She's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah,
I feel like she has really like she elevated the role of Mercedes.
Well, that's what it
like,
is, right?
Way more than it probably looked like on the page.
Yeah, and I agree. In season 4, she's like she flourishes.
Oh, that's great! I'm happy to hear
all that.
Yeah.
And when Waverly heals her, she's like Waverly Earp, you beautiful lesbian. Oh, I got a belly laugh.
Yeah, so good. She's just such like a bitch is all I can like explain. Yeah.
And her and Winona being friends is so funny.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so anyway, Mercedes is there as his wife, and she's just rolling with it. She's like, "Listen, I have." And when she's like, "No truffle mashed potatoes are going to waste on my watch."
Yeah,
it's so funny. She's so
like,
stupid.
Hand me that. Yeah.
And then she's like, "Don't tell him I ate the potatoes."
It's so stupid, but I actually did like that scene. I mean, it's kind of corny. Like they're all there. It's like just fucking kill her. What fealty? Just murder her. But I did like that. Bolshar and her can't touch.
My question is, when she steps up to him and he kind of shies away, Is that what turns the Revenants to her side? I was slightly confused. I might have just like misheard or something of like why they were then helping her. Because I know that they realize that like he's using them. He benefits from Wynonna or the heir and the Revenants being against each other. But like why?
Plus he caused them to be Revenants.
Yeah. The whole thing is she explains that they want to not be Revenants. They want the curse to be gone as much as she does.
Yeah.
So join her and get rid of Bolshar and we're good.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I like it better when we just said it right there than I did thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just a little confused and the same thing of like, I don't know how I feel about this.
I think she also
a little bit better. Yeah.
She also says like, if you stay with Bolshar, he's going to destroy the world and you will die too. And the curse is gone, but you're dead. It's over. If you join me, you know, you're not a Revenant and you can live your life. And she has that one long hair guy Revenant that's kind of like
the curly one, the gay one. He's like the one who's doing her hair
with the Hawaiian.
Yeah. The one who was doing her hair is gay because he basically says something like, my sister was dating the man I wanted to be.
Oh,
with,
that's so
like that.
True.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
So
yeah
true.
And that's what he's doing her hair. Like he's supposed to be.
Well,
like,
she
gay.
Says something later when she's letting him into the homestead, like something like giving him props for her hair.
Yeah, the curls. Yeah.
Speaking of appearances, too, Bolshar's tie is tied so terribly.
Yeah, it really is.
Is it
very loose?
The knot is awful.
Yeah, it's loose and off center and stuff. Yeah. He's got
to
be.
It took me this long to realize he just looks like the Man in Black.
Oh, yeah,
he looks like the Man in Black and Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, he does.
That's perfection.
Yeah,
that is perfection. Like. Okay, so then we get down the line, the Revenant's on her side, whatever. So Wynonna gets the crew and drugs them. What do you think?
Like,
do you think that
up to the final
do you,
encounter?
Yes. Do you think that that was okay? Good. I'm glad you guys weren't like, "What the fuck?" Because I really love the whole back and forth with her and Waverly about being like, "You know, I'm your backup." Like,
yeah.
I love that Wynonna's not the chosen one. Waverly's the chosen one.
Yeah,
I like that she didn't end up drugging Waverly.
She was never going to. Like, right. It wasn't her whiskey wasn't drugged. Yeah,
but it just
I don't think it was whiskey, bro. I think this one was clear. When they were doing the,
it's always whiskey.
No,
brother.
I'm pretty sure. Let's go back, dude.
It was clear. Definitely.
It was clear,
brother.
So, brother.
Then it's tequila.
This leads
up.
To
they
their,
like tequila.
This leads up to the fight right by the stairs, right?
Yes.
Quick question: what was there ever explicitly said why Wynonna was the only one of everybody?
I think you have to be like worthy,
it.
Like
but
the,
Jeremy
Thor's
and
hammer.
And,
well, he's worthy.
And
he's
Nicole
great,
saw it. Yeah, I love when she's like, "Are you hovering?"
It's just like Thor's
such
hammer.
A funny scene.
Yeah, like you have to be worthy. It's like
and
Jonathan.
Everyone's worthy, but Wynonna.
Well, no, I don't think Doc can see it at one point either.
He walks up it.
Yeah,
up
but that's
it.
Later.
I think it changes.
Okay.
It does, because it comes into play, obviously, in season 4 again.
Freaking Waverly standing up there. Like, Wynonna turns around. She's like, "You're levitating right now."
I don't want to gloss over the fact that you said Waverly's the chosen one, because she should have been the chosen one from the very beginning. From season 1, she's just the one.
Is she not?
What? Well, she always felt like she's like,
no,
Wynonna, like the literal fight with the barber.
That's the first episode.
The barber is like, tick-tock, forgiven or not.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to be the chosen one.
Yeah,
like, I do all this work.
She should be the chosen one. She's the best. I mean, she's the one who deserves to be the chosen one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also now excited, I think, to see how Wynonna deals with that. I mean, guess Wynonna has now been dubbed like
the protector,
the guardian.
The new guardian.
Yeah.
And is the sword... Like, the sword is Peacemaker, right?
Yeah.
And it stayed a sword at the end, right?
For now.
So this is not a question for Kathleen. Like, are we thinking it's a sword?
Nah, Peacemaker's got to come back, dude. Make your peace, bro.
Yeah, I would hope it's...
It still could be called Peacemaker.
I would hope it's still a gun. Yeah.
I mean,
but
she
also,
had
there's
some nice
sword.
Moves with it, but at the same time, I feel like it has to be a gun.
She saw Princess Bride like 70 times.
So they have the Angel Sword, and they have Peacemaker Sword.
Which, they're both Angel Swords, because the Peacemaker was Juan Carlos' guardian sword.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
They turned into Peacemaker, and then Julian has his.
And so is the basis of this entire curse, this entire show, is, correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to make sure I understand this. It was that Bolshar was an entity that is not mortal. He was existed in the Garden of Eden and escaped, right? He's the serpent that escaped
the
from
serpent.
Adam and Eve's garden. I thought that was the whole thing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the whole time he's the serpent. Yeah.
That's what they found out.
And then he wants
Juan
to go
Carlos.
Back. That was it, right?
And he wants to go back and take it over and he's living through all these times, and he was not the sheriff. He was the
he was the sheriff.
Yeah, the sheriff. And then they gave Wyatt the original Peacemaker.
So Juan Carlo and Julian picked Wyatt as the chosen one originally. They gave him Peacemaker and said, "Go kill him." Okay, so that's
But then the curse was Bolshar's
Stone Witch.
Stone Witch wife.
Because they put Bolshar in the ground.
Okay.
Like, as revenge.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, basically, obviously, Winona is the new Wyatt.
Yes.
Waverly is now the new Juan Carlos / Julian.
So now, question to the boys.
The bros.
Why the fuck
sucks.
Did Kathleen say to us at the end of last podcast, don't you guys just hate Wyatt? Do you remember what she said?
Yeah, but
that
she
day?
Got it wrong. She meant Ward. That's why we were screwed up.
Is that what you meant?
Unless you're really spoiling two seasons above.
Total season four spoiler.
Yeah, because literally, so I've been thinking about that so much.
That what? She just yeah. made. Like,
I'm going to take a picture and put it on Instagram.
Dude, I'm like not going to lie. The episode card. That's been sticking with me
Dude,
since every single episode I've
That has been in my
I've
head,
watched.
But I yes. took it as... This season showed really how much of a piece of shit Ward was. So I
but
thought maybe she just said it wrong.
Wyatt as good.
As good. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying I think she just messed up.
And she can't tell us.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they don't do too much of the whole Ward's a POS until season three. Like you see in season one and two, he's really, really hard on Willa and things like that. And you get the glimpses of him being a drunk. And that's why the mom strayed. And
that's also why Bolo had to threaten him to take care of Waverly too. Like,
right.
This is your fucking.
But then season three, they're just like, he's drunk. He hits you. Like he was majorly awful. So like, I was thinking that's what Kathleen meant, but
I plead the fifth.
I wish you could just answer because that would just make me feel so much better. But now I think you're right. She probably meant Ward.
Yeah. I think that's something that I'm looking forward to in season four.
So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope that I made you wait on that one.
Yeah.
I just hope we get a little more of Wyatt.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten more yet.
Because I feel like now that Winona has always been the heir, and the heir kind of lets like Ward come into play a little bit, Willa, because they were like heirs kind of. But now with like the title of like the guardian and getting the sword, like what's happening to her is the same exact thing that happened to Wyatt.
Right.
No other Earp heirs. So I hope that whole connection comes into play more, because I'm sure that like Waverly might get access to knowledge. Like there's got to be someone that has knowledge now.
Yeah.
Beyond maybe, I guess, Juan Carlos journal, because they might have just breezed through it quickly to find out the info.
But I'm glad
like
we're
I would
doing
like them to explore that.
I'm glad we're doing six parts because I could talk for another 2 hours about the season.
Yeah.
I'm that makes me so happy. And this season packs a punch. Like we could talk at length per episode, like magician style. We didn't do that, but
we did two.
One. Oh, yeah. We did two. Yeah.
We did one for a couple, but
oh yeah.
Apocalypse I will now. Say, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong or agree or disagree.
You're wrong.
I do think the I do think that the smaller plot hole issues got better this season. There's still plot holes, but I think in one and two, I was constantly just like this, that.
I agree.
There's bigger ideas now than there were back then, I feel like. There's like bigger things at play, so you're not picking.
The only thing that I noticed, and I don't know if I'm even getting this right, but there's a scene where she puts Peacemaker up to Bolshar and he goes, I'm not a revenant. It won't work for me. And I was like, but I thought literally the whole point is any demon, any monster, it will do it.
She also uses the Peacemaker as a litmus test for Charlie and it doesn't glow, which I was like, okay, that kind of, I don't
love
that.
And wait.
Say it. I know exactly what you're going to say.
You can say it. Then what?
Are you going to, let's say it on three.
No, I'm not. Hit the 1, 2, 3, dude.
She loves the 1, 2, 3.
She loves it.
You
do it. Just go.
1, 2, 3. Angels are fallen demons.
I wasn't going to say that.
How you did you possibly?
I have
you
said
that.
No, I said that.
He was going to say those words the same beat.
So my whole thing with Waverly was that I was saying that the devil was an angel, right?
That happened.
Well, that's exactly what you just said. Demons are fallen angels.
Yeah, not all, though. I think only the devil is, right? If you go in by faith. And that was my whole thing about, like, are we bringing angels in? Because Bobo says we're kin.
Ooh, this is a perfect transition.
But wait, I raised my hand for the point of Luke, as I know you probably have a note on this. It went blue again.
Wait, when? When does it turn blue?
Who is she pointed at when it turns blue this season?
It's not Charlie, because it doesn't glow at all.
Is it Bolshar? It's Bolshar when she points it at his chest, right?
In the delusion, I think. Before that,
I think it's in the delusion.
Oh, okay. So in Bolshar's thing with Winona and Doc,
you know, when
Burn
the door's
alive.
Behind him and she's like, oh, I think did work.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
sure
right.
When
that
she points,
it goes
blue.
Yeah. But
we don't have any correlation yet.
There's nothing.
One is Willa.
Yeah.
Two is Waverly when Winona's like,
Waverly holding it, which is interesting.
Do it. Now we know that Peacemaker better work for our Angel Waverly.
Because didn't it dry shot a couple times this season?
That was because early they were explaining that they ran out of money and they didn't have bullets left.
She's like, come on, baby, don't embarrass me from the big man. Yeah. From the bad man.
That was because in the beginning they're like, Dolls is gone, no more black badge, we don't have any bullets.
Got you.
And then that's why they're like wrangling up some shit. And Doc at one
point of bullets,
like,
Nicole with wooden bullets, badass.
Yeah,
you gotta do what you gotta do. I love anytime Nicole's like, this is purgatory, baby. I've got lots of shit in my bag. You know what I mean? Like, she is a beast of a human being, just being a badass.
So is Nedley. Yeah. Nedley had this whole closet of all the fucking supernatural shit.
Nedley was great this season, except I did not like his changing of dialogue. Like, he does the weird quips now. Like in the end of the season.
Oh, like how about when he's like, I watched all these people get murdered and then I binge watch a season of Pretty Little Liars. Like,
I was actually fine with that.
I love that. It's canon. Yeah. Nedley loves Pretty Little Liars.
His Mambo number 5 line was really good, though.
Yeah
Mambo number 6. Two quick notes.
One quick note. Menstrual Angel.
Yeah.
Tampon Angel.
Yeah, Tampon Angel was funny.
Amazing. I love where he was like, I didn't know there were tampons when I made it. Like, so fucking cute. So sweet.
And then I'm going to put you on the...
Do it now. Do it now.
The two quick notes are, no, you guys don't have to retort, but I think one is the homestead environment looks beautiful in the snow. I love every single time they do it. It looks so fucking good.
My response to that will be, when it's in the snow, their outfits are so not
inappropriate.
Right. Yeah, right. Winona in the finale is literally wearing like a bra and a jacket.
The actors and actresses talk about how deathly cold it is. They say, like, sometimes they're like,
it wasn't in a desert.
No, like, it's in Alberta. The winters of Alberta. It is literally like negative billion degrees outside, which is really cool because, like I've said before, season 4A is shot in the winter, like always, but then COVID hit, so they shot 4B in the summer, and it changes the whole visuals of the show.
I don't know why they don't just say, like, why do we have to dress
cheaper,
like this?
Probably. Oh, well, they do. Like, Waverly in season 1 is in a lot of skimpy dresses, but they give her coats and shit in season 2 and 3.
Wynonna's outfit in the finale was,
she's
like,
definitely
said,
more skimpy in season 1.
I think there's something about, like, literal producers and shit are like, lose the clothes. This is hot girls. Yeah. We need hot girls. Okay. Which is so lame. But also hot girls.
Yeah, Wynonna was doing it for me this season, man.
It just,
I mean, her hair was looking great. It was end of the world hair.
The picture of her, like, you can't tell she has a sword in her hand, but there's a picture of her that's like classic in that hot outfit fighting Bullshar with like the sword in her hand, just like looking, and she is just like ripped and hot.
Yeah, she's doing it.
Okay, Luke, call me out.
The other one was, I can't believe it took this long for Wynonna at least to make a Sons of Anarchy joke.
I was like
that needed to be said.
That's
especially for you,
absolutely,
the quips, you know, she has to say that.
All right, so I want to know of what you thought about this season having so much base in specifically Christian religion, and I need to know that you dislike this as much as you did Midnight Mass, because you were writing a lot of the
What do you mean?
Oh, so angels, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve,
but that
devils
doesn't feel Catholic to me. That feels sci-fi. Like, angels and devils feel when I am in church.
I'll take it back. I'm not even
listen.
I just knew you were gonna dance around.
But
this
I'm at church, I don't think about angels. They don't talk about angels or devils at church. They talk about God.
This is word.
Okay,
word
it's
from
not
the Bible.
Midnight Mass.
Yeah, this isn't like inspired by the Bible. This is
the Bible.
The Bible.
This is literally events from the Bible. The snake, like when he has the reptile scales.
I just want to say that I didn't picture the serpent as a cobra, because he gets a cobra head when he bites her.
Oh, really?
When he's like,
son of a Cobra Kai.
It's not an actual talking point.
Damn it.
I just knew you were going to defend it for Wynonna because you hated it on Midnight Mass.
Yeah, so in Midnight Mass, it was all based in church with people who were gross church people. And I think this is like not gross church people. So I think that I didn't even fucking notice.
It wasn't a real fucking critique.
Damn it. I was ready to defend myself.
I literally wrote, I can't wait to see how Kathleen dances around this.
I think that
when I bring up the religion,
I'm going to keep that because it's good.
If I was going to have two ending thoughts, the first one was going to be that I honestly didn't like that it went to basically being like, the Archangel Michael is Julian, like
it was
like
Bullshark
is
like
the serpent from Adam and Eve. Like they're talking literally about the Bible.
They start quoting the Bible at one point.
Yeah
which I mean,
is
they
like
literally show that he is the serpent at the end.
That was the point that made me say, I'm bringing this up on the podcast. Yeah.
Can I say something really quickly?
Look at her, she fucking knows.
No, this is I'm gonna trash talk myself. I grew up Catholic. Same. I am so fucking stupid and didn't pay attention for 1 second. Garden of Eden, Serpent, Angels. I'm like, cool.
Hot girls.
Yeah, I'm like, sick. I don't I cheated on every CCD test I ever had. I don't remember anything.
What about, was it Kevin who has the line where she's like, oh, Eve, man, don't get me started with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that. Kevin is good, and she was really good on Lost Girl. Really good.
So my second... I guess my final parting shot is just I have to shout out the use of the tarot, right? Tarot
cards
with the tower. I thought that was really cool, especially as now I'm talking to the most niche possible Binge Town fandoms. We have any One Piece Winona crossover fans out there?
Oh, yeah.
In one of the most recent One Piece chapters, the tarot card of the tower played a big part in the chapter. And I thought that was interesting that,
love that
we had just read that chapter, I guess, either last week or 2 weeks ago, and then watching Winona and it popped up again. And I was like, damn, it was kind of used in a little bit of different ways. Like Winona, it was just talked about with like straight destruction and evil, when in One Piece, it was more about like upheaval and change that brings like something that's so crazy that happens and makes things change, which does happen in Winona. But I was not going to forgive myself if I didn't mention that.
Love that.
We'll find a listener who has that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I hope so.
Right, hit us up on Twitter. Shot,
then you end it because I feel like you're going to have more profound takeaways than me. Yeah. So this season was great. It was very, very fun. It's obviously we went into this knowing it wasn't going to be like top tier flawless writing. So if you can get past a bunch of the small plot holes, it's freaking fantastic. I will say, I think this show would have benefited 1,000,000% by being a Netflix show, not just because of like the freedom of cursing and doing whatever you want on screen and the money. It's more about, I think what I realized after finishing this season is that I like the second half of each season so much more than the first halves. And it's because they have to do that whole thing we keep bringing up about the villain of the week for a little bit, with sprinkles of main plot lines that are going to pay off in the second half. And then basically the second half is
always turned up to 10. Yeah.
It's always turned up to 10. And it's like, we get flashbacks of Bobo. We get flashbacks of Wyatt. We're connecting the big dots of what the hell the lore of this world is. So I think like, if it was like 4 seasons of 8 episodes where you could cut all the fat out and then clean up the writing a little bit, this show would have been fucking just unbelievable. But overall, absolutely great. Waverly is amazing. I can tell that every single fan that's ever watched the show
is gay now.
Why you love Waverly, because she's the best. Doc's the man and Bobo's the best.
Yeah. Luke pretty much nailed it. I thought the season was phenomenal. I think it was the best season of the three. For whatever reason, I've said it every single season, no matter what is going on. We came in hot with some critiques to start this podcast episode, but so much good stuff to talk about. No matter what I'm talking about when it comes to critiques, lately there hasn't been too many shows where I get that feeling where I'm like, I want to watch the next one right this freaking second.
Nice.
You know, and I get that feeling with Winona, and I've been waiting because we wait a couple weeks to record. And with season 2, I watched so quickly, and then I had like 2 weeks before we recorded, and I was like, I need to watch season 3. So now I waited, and now I get to watch season 4.
Right
tonight
now.
Or tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the best feeling ever because I'm getting that feeling with Winona. And I would love to do a bracket again with Winona as an option. Dave on the pod has watched a lot more shows now. So we'll redo the brackets at some point, but Winona will be very interesting. Just a couple notes that I wanted to ask you guys with Garden of Eden, the Serpent, Angels, all this stuff coming in. Kyle brought up the fact that we think Black Badge might be an end game for season 4, even though it wasn't, we didn't know it was going to be the series finale, but Black Badge might come back into the picture. We don't have something showing up right now in our face as the big bad. Do you think it's going to be like a devil or something? Like,
so what I do is like, you can search on the Reddit, like season 3 discussion, no spoiler future thing. That's what I do for every show ever.
Yeah.
Like,
so
once
you don't
I'm finished watching,
you
I
trust
on
it.
Reddit,
yeah.
I go to, not even just for Winona. I'm just saying in general, yeah. I go for discussion because it's my favorite thing ever. But one of the things I saw was that the name that was written on the wall, Valdez, is going to be, it's a Black Badge Division name of someone from the comic. So I think Black Badge and Division is going to be a huge backbone of season 4.
Okay.
And it makes sense because we're done with, apparently we're done with Bulshar
and the curse.
And the curse. So like it's going to have to start getting more to the characters we know. Like, what are they going to introduce the big bad at the beginning of season 4 and then kill him by the end of season 4.
Right.
That doesn't seem right to me. It's going to be about whatever Waverly's role is going to be, getting out of Garden of Eden and then finishing the Black Badge storyline is what my guess is.
And what do you think is going to happen with Vamp Doc? Like, is he going to stay a vampire? Are they going to turn him back? Like, I would have bet a lot of money that he would have been back.
Like, I'm on the page that where
by the end of the season,
whatever him escaping, being able to escape that holy rope needs to mean something more than just weird writing, right? Like, I feel like he's becoming less than a vampire, or he was helped.
It's going to be that he's helped.
My assumption is he was just off screen.
But doesn't that contradict the ability to walk up the steps? Because I thought you have to be. I don't know how that plays into it, because if they say you can't be immortal.
I mean, I have literally no idea how the steps or the barrier at the steps work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they're hard rules, but.
I mean, Waverly pulls out the sword.
Hot TBH.
Yeah.
That's like my daddy taught me how to do that this. That meant
something.
Before he died.
Maybe that meant
after
something.
After Winona gets rejected by it, right?
So. Meaning so maybe Doc can go through the barrier now because the sword was pulled out.
That could be it.
But why couldn't Winona?
She didn't try after the sword was pulled out.
True.
Winona was on the ground.
Like, doink?
Like being poisoned.
She got boinked off that fucking thing.
Yeah. So that could be it.
Are we going to do our top fours?
We can end with the top fours to see where we're all at, because we're going to reevaluate at the end of season.
I'll go quick since mine really doesn't matter, because whatever. Mine stays exactly the same. Mine goes, well, I think Dolls was in mine before, but not anymore, obviously. So mine goes Winona, Waverly, Doc, Nicole.
Winona number one.
Yeah, always.
Okay, I'll go next because I probably have the biggest change from my last podcast, because I lowered Doc from number one to number three.
Ooh.
Damn, baby.
I have Waverly, Winona, Doc, Bobo.
Let's go.
Bobo. Yeah. Bobo Del Rey.
So you joined the Waverly train at number one, man.
I did, because I like to think that season two was all about Winona and her baby and like dealing with that, which is why I guess I liked her so much in season three, because it was less about her and more about Waverly while she's the namesake. So it let her breathe a little bit, in my opinion. And yeah, I think Waverly and Winona killed it for me this season.
I think that I'm sticking with Waverly at number one. I believe I always had Doc at number two. I'm going to keep him there. Winona at number three. And then my game time decision was actually going to be Nicole or Jeremy.
Ooh, I love
four.
It.
And because I'm talking about season three. Like how I feel
totally,
in season three.
Totally.
So I'm probably going to go for Jeremy.
Yes, that's sick.
Give that guy
some
love. If
Jeremy gets some more main integral storylines, he will easily be
like,
in the top four.
I really, really like Bobo, but I just feel like with his ending, I guess that's the thing you were saying. Like, do we like it's like a top four liking of a character or they're, you know, and that's where it's
I always
gets a little...
it as who do I like on screen? Who, what scenes do I want to watch with who in it?
Okay,
that's
that's kind of that's a tough question, because then maybe I slip Bobo into four of them because Jeremy's the same, but like I've always loved Bobo, but
yeah, totally.
All right, I will go Doc, Waverly, Jeremy.
Okay.
Winona.
Okay, as long as she makes up.
Yeah, man.
Honestly, I was flirting with Hart or Nedley going above Winona.
Winona would be hilarious.
I really just Winona on screen doesn't do much for me anymore.
This is like, we can end the pod in a second, but the fact that Nedley had the good thing where he ended up being the father figure to Nicole. But if you're going to go with someone like Nedley at number four, I'd go Mercedes first, because I feel
totally.
I mean, every second that Nedley's on the screen, I'm happy.
Yeah, same with Mercedes. And I feel like this season she was almost on more towards the end.
When we do our season four wrap up, we're going to have more awards,
and
like support characters,
stuff,
main characters, more things to rank.
Love it.
For sure.
Holy shit. And it'll give us more time because we'll do 2-2-2. It's not like we're talking about a whole season at once. Well, listen, everybody. For me, Winona gets better every single season. I cannot wait for these boys to watch season four. And we will be coming up with that soon, because we only have to watch two episodes for that. So if you like what you heard, go to BingeDownTV.com for our website. BingeDownTV at Instagram and Twitter. We've covered all of Winona so far. We've covered other shows like The Magicians, The 100, The Boys, all the Marvel Universe, The Haunting. It's spooky season. Get out there. Watch Haunting of Hill House, Midnight Mass, Haunting of Bly Manor, all that stuff. Shout out to our Patreon people. You keep the lights on. We love to see it. We've got some cool Patreon episodes coming up, some interviews and everything. Go check out all of our videos on there. We've got some celebrity video interviews on there, which are pretty cool. That's patreon.com/BingeTownTV. Thanks for listening. We can't wait to watch the rest. Wine on Herb makes me absolutely electrified. I have the chills just thinking about it. That's BingeTownTV. Thanks for listening.
Make your peace.
Make your peace, motherfucker.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.